Please turn with me in the Word of God to the book of Proverbs and to the first chapter, Proverbs and chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. We thank the Lord again for this reading of his own precious and inspired word. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer before the Lord. Our gracious God, as we once again open up the scriptures of truth, we pray for thy presence and we pray for thy help. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst lead our meditation tonight and that thou wouldst speak to our souls. Lord, that we might leave this house with an impression upon us, Lord, that you will change our lives and change our understanding of our own selves. Help us, Lord, to search ourselves. Let us not be as the fool. Let us not be as those who despise wisdom and turn away from reproof. But Father, that we might come unto the mighty hand of God, knowing that whom thou dost love, thou dost chastise, and thou dost scourge all of thy sons, that they might walk in righteousness. We pray, our Father, that we might prefer the chastisement of God than the blessing of the world. The chastisement of God will bring us to eternal life, but the blessings of the world will take us to destruction. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to throw in our lot with thee, that we might know that our deliverance is upon the work of Christ alone, and that the redemption of the Lord is that which is given freely to those who trust in thee. Give us such a heart, we pray thee. Give us faith and help us, Lord, that we might overcome the world, that we might reject the world with all of its philosophies and ideas. And Lord, that we might know that the truth is in God, that the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Bless our hearts then this evening, we pray thee. Touch us and lead us in the way everlasting. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. I want to think about these words which are found at the end of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And really, I suppose, I want to think about verses 24 to the end. But perhaps we'll take as a text the 23rd verse, the first part of it. Turn you at my reproof. Turn you at my reproof. Well, we read the words of this wise man who, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has written that we might learn to trust in the wisdom of God and not in the supposed wisdom of man. Man's wisdom is based upon folly, because man's wisdom is not based upon the truth, because the truth is God. And man turns away from God and makes gods of their own imagination and of their own hearts. It is well said by many that God is made in man's image. Our God is not made in man's image, because he is so different to us, he is in no way made in our image. But the gods which men seek to set up before them are made in their own image. And in the view and in the sight of those who are lost, even our God is made in their image, because they don't see what the child of God sees. They don't see the Lord who is sovereign over all. They don't see a God who is love. They don't see a God who is all wisdom. They don't see a God who, by grace and in mercy, sends forth his Son to die upon the cross for us and to redeem us from our sins and to give unto us eternal life. They see a God which is made in their image, a God who is angry, a God who will judge them, a God who demands certain things from us which they don't want to give. And so they make up a God which they were trying to make up from the different parts of the scripture, and they make up a God which is a tyrant, a God which is hateful, a God which they despise, and they say, this is your God. But it's not our God, it's their God. It's the God which they have invented. It's the God which they have imagined in their corrupted minds. But the Lord has revealed unto the child of God the beauty of holiness, the loveliness of his person, and the wonderful blessedness and joy and peace that there is in believing when we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So although they name the God and they say it is your God, it is not the same thing that they see that we see. They are seeing something completely different, and they seek to strive against that God. But this is the arrogance of the man of mankind. This is the arrogance of man's heart. All of the ideas, all of the philosophies of man are based upon his own viewpoint, his own understanding of the things which go on around him. And all of those things are corrupted by his own heart because of sin. Now, the wise man here tells us in verse 7 of this chapter, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But man rejects the fear of the Lord. They reject the Lord. They set aside the Lord and they say, we will go about to establish our own righteousness. We will go about to establish that man is the most important thing in the earth. And in our nation in these days, we see almost the pinnacle of that whole idea. It has come to that, that men have set aside the knowledge of God, and they say, no, we don't need God. We can have our own ideas. We can have our own workings out of the world, and we'll base our lives and we'll base our understanding upon what we can see and what we can hear and what we can taste, upon senses, upon sensualism. The apostle in the New Testament speaks about them as being natural brute beasts, because there's no spirituality about them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need to start here. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. See those words in verse 8? These are very important words. And particularly for the young people who are here today, but also for all of us, to realize how important these words are. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now this is basically the fifth commandment, isn't it? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The fifth commandment, the commandment we are told, which is the first commandment with promise. This fifth commandment lays up for us the very beginning of our comprehension of the wisdom of God. Because as a child begins to grow and listens to the instruction of his father and the law of his mother, they begin to learn that there is one who is in authority over all. That is the God of heaven. But you see, in our society in this day and age, man has turned aside from that idea. Children are to have their freedom. They are to explore their own surroundings. They are to be left alone to do whatsoever they please. There's not to be this obedience to father and mother. And so they grow up and there's no obedience to God. There's no fear of the law. There's no fear of man. There is no honor. There is no respect round about. And one saying which you may have heard, and I'm sure you have, because it's said an awful lot in these days, and that is that respect must be earned. Respect must be earned. Well, that's a nonsense. Complete nonsense. How can respect be earned when you've never met someone before? That is to say that if someone comes through the door of this church, I have no respect for them, because I don't know them. They haven't earned my respect. I can despise them. I can ignore them. I could kick them as I go past. I have no respect for them. They haven't earned it. What nonsense. And yet this is the teaching of atheism and the teaching of the world in these days, that respect must be earned. But you see, we learn respect as a child at home. We learn to respect our father. We learn to respect our mother. We learn to hear the instruction of our father and the law of our mother. We begin to learn. And we begin to learn the wisdom of God. And we begin to learn to fear the Lord, who is over all. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the arrogance of man's heart. We read together from Isaiah in chapter 3. And as we looked there, we could see just how proud man is. And if we go turn there again and see the heart of the people, we read in verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbour. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Well, they haven't earned his respect after all. And the base against the honourable. They haven't earned his respect either. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Rewarded evil unto themselves. This is what the wise man is saying here also, when he says that they have brought upon themselves their trouble. In verse 31, Proverbs 1 and verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. We look around us at the world, and particularly because, well, we're in England, we look around us at this new atheism. It's not really a new atheism, is it? It's just a more pronounced atheism. It is just more brazen. It is shouted out from the rooftops. The scripture speaks about them speaking it out and showing it forth and declaring it as Sodom. In Isaiah 3 and verse 9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin. As Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. It is his own work. He's bringing upon himself destruction because he has rejected God. And we have to ask ourselves today, do we put God first in our lives? Is everything that we do and the way that we live based upon what God has revealed to us in his word? Or are we building our lives upon something which is so specious that we can't even find out what it is? Cornelius Van Til, speaking about the philosophies of the age, speaks about man trying to build a philosophy, and it's like trying to build a staircase made of water in the midst of the sea. There's no foundation, everything's moving. It enfolds upon itself. There is nothing to build upon. For the child of God, we build upon this fear of the Lord. We build upon the one who has revealed himself to us in the word of God. But man is so arrogant, so hard-hearted, so sure of himself without any surety whatsoever, with no certainty. Something which is termed in philosophy relativism. Everything is relative. But relative to what? Because there is no certainty, there is no first foundation, there is no ultimate truth. There is nothing to get a fix upon. If we were to sail across the sea, and we were in a ship, and we were trying to find our way from Boston across to America, we would want something in the midst of the ocean that we could fix upon. We want something that doesn't move. In old time, it would have been the pole star and other heavenly bodies which they would fix upon, and they could get their bearing, they could find out where they were by looking at those things, because they don't move. But if we decided that we were going to get our fix upon a wave which is just over there, and we can see that wave, and if we keep to the right of that wave, we will be headed in the right way for America. But that wave's dissipating, so if we keep on the right of that wave, we'll be okay. But that one's going as well. And there's another wave, and if we keep on the right side of that one, then we'll be on our way to America, we'll be fine. But it's all moving the whole time. That's what relativism is, moving. Every man, every heart, every idea of man never establishes and never stays the same. That's why the wise man says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why we have one upon whom we must fix, and we must walk according to that which he has given us, because otherwise we don't know where we're going. In verse 20 we read, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street, she crieth in the chief places, place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. And here is the appeal of God to the reason of man, because God has made us to be reasonable souls. But the trouble is that man does not reason with the basis of God. Man reasons with any old thing, reasons from it. Says, well, I'm logical because I can prove that A and B equals C. But the A is moving all over the place, and the B is moving all over the place, and the C, which he has deduced from this, changes all the time because there is no solid foundation. Because the heart of man is sinful. Wisdom crieth without. This is the wisdom of God. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We find the definition of wisdom, the wisdom of God. (Clears Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the wisdom that crieth in the streets. It is God. It is God who speaks to us. Now, here is a personification of wisdom, and the pronoun which is used of wisdom here is she. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. And so we might say, well, this is wisdom, this is not Christ. But look, as we continue down, as wisdom begins to speak, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. God appeals to our reason. Be reasonable, he says. Be reasonable. You need a foundation. You need the truth. You must start with the truth. Where is the truth? The wisdom of God is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The atheist will say to us, well, we don't need God. God is a metaphysical presence, and we don't need metaphysics, because we have logic. And logic brings us to a knowledge of the truth, and we can work it out in our own minds. We don't need God for this, because we have logic. But you know where the source of logic is? It is God. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Logos is where we get the word logic from. Logos is Jesus Christ. Logos is logical. God is logical. From the beginning, logic rests upon God. We cannot have logic apart from God. That is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is why God appeals to our reason and says, look, you've got to have a foundation for your reason. The foundation for your reason is God. Come and trust in me. Hear my words. I will speak to you. But wisdom crieth in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Fools? It's not the psalmist say, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hates knowledge. And what does the atheist do? He scorns. Scorns God. Scorns the people of God. Scorns the teaching of God. Scorns the wisdom of God. Refuses to hear what God says. Says, no, we don't believe in God. Uses foolish terms that he might mock and scorn the very God of heaven. Says he is another God which he believes in. And we've no doubt all heard at some point of the flying spaghetti monster. Oh, what nonsense. And is it any wonder that wisdom says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? What folly. What folly. To refuse God and to say, no, we believe in the flying spaghetti monster. I'm a pastafarian. I worship his noodleness. Simplicity. Scorners delighting in their scorning. Fools hating knowledge. But the Lord says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. You will have true logic. You will have true understanding. You will have real instruction. You will grow in knowledge and understanding, and you will know me. But there is an agony here. For man refuses to know God. This is the heart of man. And oh, I say to you tonight, search your heart to make sure you're not one like this. For there is an agony of the lost. For the Lord says in verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded or attended, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. There is a picture being painted here, and perhaps we have seen some of the desolations of the earth. We have seen the desolation over this country in Somerset over the winter as the waters came in. What could anybody do? Their houses were wrecked and their crops were lost and no one could do a thing. Perhaps we have seen on the television at some point or other the whirlwinds in America and how they go through those states of America and there's total devastation. And houses are just demolished. And these are the shacks of fools which they have built up around themselves saying, we can stand. We'll be all right. For the fear will come as a desolation, as a tempest, as the margin has. Your destruction will come as a whirlwind when distress and anguish cometh upon you. And they will not be able to stand. The Lord Jesus perhaps refers to this. I don't know whether he's referring exactly to this portion of Scripture, but he refers to this concept, this idea, when he says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. What is he to do? Hear the sayings of Christ. Hear the wisdom of God. Build upon the logic of God. Start with the fear of the Lord. And he says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the wind blows and the rain comes and it beats upon the house and the house stands firm. Why? Because God stands firm. Because here is true understanding. Here is true wisdom. Here is true reason. Here is true logic in Christ. But he likens the foolish man to a man who builds his house upon the sand. That which shifts and moves beneath it. When the winds come and the rains beat down and the waves beat against that house, it falls because it has no foundation. And the philosophies of the world, they have no foundation. They move about in the mists of darkness. There is nothing upon which they stand. They just appear to stand on something. And the Lord says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let me ask you tonight, are you built upon the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him? Is there a basis to what you believe? Is your foundation in the Word of God? Is it built upon the fear of the Lord? Or are you a fool who despises wisdom and instruction? Has no foundation. who when that fear cometh, and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish come upon you, then you'll start to fear and to seek the Lord. But will you find him then? Or the Lord says, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Or come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be bamboozled by the clever words and the mockeries of the world. Don't think because they seem to be intelligent, because they seem to know what they're talking about, that they do. It only goes so far into the mists and then comes round like a whirlwind upon itself. But the whole edifice will collapse in the day of the Lord. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, the Lord says, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Come to Christ. Trust in him. Make sure your foundation is there, and you will stand sure in the day of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come before thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we have a sure foundation in Christ, one who is unchanging, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We thank thee that we come to a God who is our rock, that we build upon the sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just those that he uttered while he was upon the earth, but all of the sayings of Christ from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. Lord, we thank thee for a word which is given to us. And, O Lord, we thank thee for its completeness. We thank thee for its certainty. We thank thee, O Lord, that we are able to search it and study it and grow in knowledge and understanding, that we might know the Lord. And it is the Lord himself who will bring us at last to glory. Father, we thank thee for so great salvation. Touch every heart, we pray thee. Lord, if there be any here who have come to some kind of a belief which is not truly built upon the fear of the Lord, we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst challenge them, that they might have that foundation of wisdom, and that they might have Christ. Bless your word to our souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen.